Hey, Frequency family. Shoot. All right, hold on. Give me a second here. See, I had a couple of scriptures and documents pasted on my note program so I could riff off of them. And then, being the awesome dude that I am, I moved my phone and hit the wrong button. One second. Okay. There we go. Unscripted, right? Unscripted. All right, so I hope you're enjoying the new monthly format. Coming at you every month, we got Testify, Bride Boot Camp, Ready with an Answer, and we have Herald the End, which is our live Bible prophecy show, which airs every other Friday night. And if you're listening to this on Monday, this Monday, it'll be this Friday night. We also have that fourth week open every month for whatever I feel led to do a show on. I got some pretty interesting stuff coming up. This week, it's an unscripted episode on spiritual warfare and prayer and some prayer needs and requests that we at the Omega Frequency have. So, I hope you're enjoying it. I'm super jazzed about what we've been doing this month. I feel that we've really hit a stride. Like, we have a new focus, a new mission, a new passion. It kind of took us over 4.5 years to finally lock in that content rotation, but I finally feel like we found our groove and mission for the foreseeable future, so that's awesome. And I know there's people out there that are probably like, why did it almost take you 5 years to finally get there? Well, that's a really great question, Van. Honestly, we really didn't foresee the response that we'd received when we started this thing out. We didn't foresee the impact we would make, the opportunities we would get, the open doors that would await us. I had no idea that I was going to meet cool people like Justin and Phil and Wade. And I had no idea that I'd be on the Fourth Watch Radio Network, whose, you know, their apps and the YouTube page and just expanded the format. See, it's late at night and I'm going to have trouble talking. It kind of really just expanded the platform beyond what we thought we would have. And, you know, a lot of it was kind of focused maybe too. Curtin, he and I, we kind of wanted to make like a weekly hour-long episode exclusively on Bible prophecy. Like, basically, this is what's going on in current events. Here, how's, you know, man, I'm just going to take a drink of water and I'm going to try this again. Because, man, I'm tripping all over my words. But I promise, unscripted, unedited. So basically, we were like, hey, this is what's going on in the world today. This is how this all ties into Bible prophecy. Hey, everyone, look over here. Bible prophecy is real. And this podcast is our way of convincing you that we're living in the end times and that Jesus is coming back and that we can trust God's word. And truth be told, about 30 episodes in, I understood clearly that in this community that I was swimming in, nobody really needed to be convinced that we were living in the end times. Y'all were already up on that information. What people really wanted to know was, how do we avoid the deception that's in this hour? How can we live strong lives for Jesus Christ if these are the end times? And when we shifted our focus to that mission, some pretty incredible things happened. Like I said, we met some amazing people who partnered with us to produce amazing content, like Justin, Phil, and Wade. These are brothers I would have never foreseen running into or working with. And that really kind of shaped this whole mission. We gained a lot of loyal, passionate listeners who downloaded every single episode and began to share them with anyone who would listen, coworkers, people riding in the car with them. Fathers would share it with sons, and sons would share it with fathers. It's crazy, man. We also started receiving a lot of amazing testimonies from people all over the world who, you know, got saved. People were recommitting their lives to Christ. People that were backslidden, now were on fire for Jesus. People that barely prayed, now prayed. People that would rarely flipped open the pages of their Bible began reading and studying their Bible. People who had some really, really dark stuff in their lives, some really horrific periods of their lives, were writing in saying that because of the podcast, because of listening to the show, they were helped out of that dark place. And I guess this was our hope before we dropped episode one. We just didn't know how we were going to get to it. The one thing that, you know, I love about Kurt Lee, the one thing that I love about my best friend, man, is he always told me in the pre-planning stage, don't worry about the numbers of listeners we have. Just make a show that people need to listen to. And I kind of made that kind of my mantra. I took that to heart, man. And don't get me wrong, I think it's awesome. I think it's cool that we have a lot of listeners. But I hope more than anything that it's a podcast that somehow speaks to those who tune in and listen. And I remember kind of like the week before I recorded the first episode, I was super nervous. I mean, like, if you've listened to the Origins episode, you know that we've been planning for almost a year how to launch this. And in that year, we would talk about it. We would plan things, but it really didn't seem like it was real. It seemed like it was more of something we could do or more of a concept or more of a dream than a reality. But man, once Kurt made that logo, once that logo was done, once the social media was set up, once I got on the Twitters and learned how to tweet, once I understood how to do a Facebook page and that there were groups out there, once the website got put up, the Libsyn account was set up and paid for, and man, the equipment, man, once all the equipment was purchased, it got real, real fast, and I thought, man, we did all this. And, like, is anyone even going to listen? And so, like, it was real, dude, because then I knew how to produce content. And I didn't know who would listen. And so for that week leading up to the first episode, the way that I dealt with my nerves was I just kind of walked around my apartment at night when it was kind of dark and tranquil and whatnot. And I put in my earbuds, and I had real soft worship music playing in the background through my earbuds, and I would just pray and be silent and wait on the Lord. But the thing that I just remember praying over and over and over again was, Lord, help me produce something that you can use somehow. That's all I want, man. Draw people who need to hear the podcast to the podcast. And then please raise up people to pray for the podcast, because we need all the prayer covering that we're going to get. We need it all. And that was my prayer. I would pray that over and over and over again, because here's the thing, man. The Lord doesn't really need the best professional polished podcast. He just needs another tool to get the message out. It's like he says, okay, there's certain people who need to hear this stuff. And more importantly, these people need to get saved, or they need to get encouraged, or they need to get built up in the faith. If you give me something to work with, I'll make sure the people who need it find it. And more recently, in the last year or so, it's been less about how we can reach people, but it's about who do we want to reach. Or if I can put it another way, I started praying and fasting that God would give me a heart to reach who he wanted to reach, and to help me be empathetic towards that, to help me really make a difference where there is a need. And I wanted to know where he saw that need. And a lot of times that would happen when I would be praying or reading an article, and I would just find myself in empathy with people. Like last night, I came across an article that I have on the phone, and I want to share it with you as an example. When I read this last night, this unscripted episode just began to take shape in my heart, because basically what I just read broke my heart. It was, I can't even tell you. It's, anyways, this is from the New York Post, and the title is Loving is Letting Go, Netherlands Teen Raped as a Child Chooses to End Her Life. The article says, a Dutch teen who was sexually assaulted at age 11 and raped at age 14, chose to end her life because she couldn't deal with the anguish anymore. I probably won't give the name. It was a 17-year-old girl who lived in the Netherlands. It says she wrote in a now-deleted Instagram post about her heartbreaking decision to stop eating, leading to her death Sunday. After years of battling and fighting, I am drained. I have quit eating and drinking for a while now. And after many discussions and evaluations, it was decided to let me go because my suffering is unbearable. This is my decision, and it's final. I breathe, but I no longer live. You think about that for a moment. I wonder how many wounded, abused, and drained people there out are. I just couldn't find the words. I still have trouble with it. Maybe I should have waited another night to do this because then I'd have better words to find, but I breathe, but I no longer live. Losing the fight with her life, you know, breathing, but not alive. The article goes on to talk about how she went and she sought medical help. She went and sought psychological help. She went and sought the help of her parents, counselors. And she wanted to commit suicide as basically a form of euthanasia. But in the Netherlands, you can't legally or technically do it till at least you're 17. And if you're under 17, you have to have your parents' permission to commit euthanasia or assisted suicide. And then that's a whole nother discussion for a whole nother time and a whole nother topic. But could you imagine being a 17-year-old girl who for the last 3 years of her life has been petitioning her parents to let her die? And her parents are like, no, you have to at least wait till you're 17. And while you wait, seek help. And she seeks all the help and she seeks for all the answers. But the trauma of being abused twice at such a young age, it breaks her in ways that she can't even imagine. And in her mind, it doesn't matter if she's breathing or not. She's already dead. And so she just starves herself to death in the comfort of her own home where her parents supervise it. Because the pain is too great. She says, after years of battling and fighting, I am drained. I have quit eating and drinking for a while now. And after many discussions and evaluations, it was decided to let me go because my suffering is unbearable. This is my decision, and it's final. I know I read that, but how could that not strike at your heart, man? How many other people are losing the fight with life? How many other people are breathing but not alive? You know, I like stats and reports. The CDC just put out a new report that suicide rates in the U.S. are basically the highest that they've ever been since World War II. And it's really not surprising. Where's the biggest increase found? Among 15 to 24-year-olds. And we kind of already knew that, right? But there's a difference between knowing and it breaking you on a personal note. And not because I can relate on a personal level, because I struggle with depression. And not because I see stories like these and I say, man, this world's messed up. This world's a heartbreaking place to live in. Man, all the troubles and darkness in the world, it's so depressing. What breaks me is I always am just a little bit harder on myself because I wonder what if. You know, our shows do get downloaded in the Netherlands. They get downloaded all around the world. We do have listeners in the Netherlands. What if that girl could have heard my show and heard something of worth that the Lord could have used to help change your mind? And the reason that that hit me so hard is we just aired June's Ready With An Answer, and kind of in that episode, we were asked about how we could respond to a girl who was abused and was cutting herself. And they didn't go into a lot of detail about, like, what kind of abuse that this girl suffered, but Phil was giving this amazing answer about how Christ could empathize with all the sufferings and the pains and things like that. And I had a very scripted answer for when Phil got done, and about 30 seconds into his answer, I felt the bottom drop out of my heart because I knew I was burdened to share something very strongly. Just, it wouldn't let me go. And it was something that I believed was addressed in the Bible about sexual bullying and sexual mockery and why Jesus was hanging naked on a cross and why Roman soldiers hung people naked on the cross to mock them and to shame them. You know, prophetically, David writes about Jesus on the cross, and Jesus is like, I'm not even a worm. I'm below a worm. I'm a man of sorrows and shame. And I have always felt that Jesus could relate. Not that Jesus was ever molested or sexually abused or anything like that, but that bullying, that mockery of him hanging naked on a cross, it's not something we talk about because it's taboo. It's really taboo. And I knew I had to share it because I understood that Jesus understood. Now, I wasn't saying that this lady who was cutting herself was sexually abused, but I knew that someone out there needed to hear that Jesus not only understood every single abuse that we face, every single temptation we face, every single pain that we face, but more importantly, he has the power to heal people that encounter those issues. And like I said, I never taught on it publicly before because this issue is taboo. And man, I have a really stupid habit of saying things that get misconstrued. People are like, he said this when I didn't really say it, or people misquote it, or, you know, I get fearful that people are going to think that I'm Kenneth Copeland running around spouting all kinds of crazy stuff about what happened to Jesus, and I wasn't. And I don't want to cause confusion. But I said what I had to say, very soberly. I just knew that the Holy Spirit wanted me to say it because someone needed to hear it. About 2 days after it aired, I received an amazing email from a lady who was a victim of sexual abuse and bullying. She was a Christian who knew that God had her back on every issue in her life except that one. She said it was something that she felt Jesus couldn't relate to, so there was no trust and healing for her in that area because of the shame that this subject was somehow outside of the realm of God's understanding. Yeah, when she heard the answer that I gave, she said she began to weep because she knew God was ministering to her in that moment. It wasn't even about me. It was just that she said, you know what? I knew God was speaking to me in that moment. He was answering my prayer in that moment. That answer is meant for me. And the Holy Spirit began setting me free right there and then. And there was such an amazing victory in her letter. You could just tell that the victory was jumping off the page. And I'm like, that's amazing. That's God. That's all him. That's God saying, you give me something to work with, I'll make sure the people who need to hear it find it. But it also brings me back to that what if moment, because I know, and I've always known, what I believed about this topic and what the Bible was saying when it said it. But this was the first time I ever publicly taught on it. Because like I said, I feared how people might take it. I feared that people would misunderstand what I was saying, that it would cause more confusion than comfort. And that's on me. That's a what if moment where I say, what if I had been more bold in the past throughout the years? Who else throughout the years needed to hear this sooner? Who else is out there that's breathing, but not really alive? How many people out there need to hear a message of hope? Because otherwise it's going to be too late, man. I mean, that suicide epidemic, right? Satan has declared war on this generation of 15 to 24-year-olds, and he's blatantly bold about it as if he has no fear of reprisal. And man, I've purposed in my heart to do everything that I can do to fight back against it. And you know why I love you guys? Because you guys have a very similar attitude. There's a lot of warriors out there that listen to this podcast that believe that Jesus is the answer. And that's real, man. I know there's some people out there who do listen and somehow think I'm a pacifist. I get accused of that from time to time, I guess, because, once again, of that confusion, man. And they say I'm a pacifist basically because of how I interpret the teachings on the Sermon on the Mount. But you have to understand that pretty much like all of you that listen to this show, when it comes to spiritual warfare, man, I'm no pacifist, and I don't believe Jesus was either. I believe we are locked into combat with immortal archons, as the Bible calls them. Or, well, Paul would call them principalities and powers. And we're fighting a battle to save as many souls as possible from the clutches of the rulers of darkness who dwell in spiritual places. I love the imagery that he just puts into that, because it's so clear, dude. This is actually the first combat area we are called into as Christians. Before we go into any other physical area and try to combat evil in this world, we have to start on our knees, and we have to reach into the spiritual realm and first fight those forces. We have to first bind the strong man before we can take any spoil. We know the passages, right? I wrote them down. I'll read them. Ephesians 6:12. It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places or high places or spiritual places." And not only do we wrestle against these immortal beings, these fallen rulers of darkness, we also have supernatural weapons that do actually work in this fight against them. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." And the main question that I wrestle with personally, and even corporately at times, is do we really have faith that these spiritual weapons are as powerful as God says they are? Because sometimes I have trouble believing it, if I'm really super honest with y'all. Because if I really truly believed that those weapons were as powerful as God says they are, then I'd have a bigger view on what God is able to do. And I'd ask for more than I ask for. I'd ask for more souls than I'd ask for. I'd ask for God to trouble my heart more than he troubles my heart. I'd trust him to move through me more with the biblical gifts of the Spirit when I prepare for a message that I'm going to give on Omega Frequency, or when I record a message, or when I'm live. I treat this podcast as a war. I'd use my time to do exploits. And man, I'd stop limiting God on the size and the scope of the exploits that he wants to do. The other night, I had an awesome person pray for me. This lady prayed for me, and she was praying down the blessings of heaven, and it was like a warfare thing, and she's like, take the podcast to the ends of the earth and let everyone hear this message. And I'm like, and in part, in back of me, I'm just like, can God really do that? Like, I know that this podcast goes out to all these people and it's downloaded all around the world, but can God really explode something like that? If I'm guilty of anything, I'm guilty of not believing that more. Not trusting God to do what he can do just because this is a small thing. For a long time, the reason I hedged my bets was because I didn't want to put myself out there that far in faith. I think that was, like, if I had to be honest, that was the real reason. I wanted to give myself some sort of a fall back. I wanted to give myself some sort of an out. I think that's the real reason I really started saying that, you know, this is just a podcast. I'm just a podcaster who's doing a podcast, and I'm just doing a normal podcast that you'd see anywhere out there. I'm just doing it from a Christian worldview. And then I would always say, as I get called on the carpet all the time, podcaster is not part of the fivefold ministry. And I wonder if the reason I fought that for so long, now looking back on it, is just because I didn't have the faith to believe that God could do more than I thought he could. And podcaster might not be part of the fivefold ministry, but teacher and evangelist are. And I'm learning to lean back into those callings again, because I want to see the lost saved. Man, I want to see the lukewarm set back on fire. I want to see everyone equipped with Bible knowledge so that we can fight the good fight of faith together. I don't want people walking around in such devastating pain that they're breathing, but they're really not alive. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And he can bring life to any situation, whether it's dark or dead, because he is amazing. And that's the mission he's given us, right? Whether it's a podcaster, or whether you're a preacher or an artist, or someone who prays, or someone who's working a 9-to-5, whether you're a stay-at-home mom or stay-at-home dad, whether you're a janitor, whether you're the CEO of a Fortune 500 company, our ministry, our mission is still the same. To see the lost saved, to disciple new believers, to take this message to the ends of the earth. And if we focus on this mission together, I honestly believe there is no telling what God can do. If we make his mission our mission. Matthew 18:19-20. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done of them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And I know a lot of people twist that and they're like, see, we can pray for the jet, airplane. We can pray for the new house and the Bentley. We just got to agree. Now, it's like where two or three are gathered together in my name. My mission, because like Jesus' mission is part of his name, right? His name is Yeshua, Yahweh saves. That's his mission. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. As my Father has sent me, so I now send you. As he is, so are we in this world. When we pray according to the biblical mission of the Great Commission, then God promises if that we agree and we work on this together, amazing things can happen. I'm 100% convinced that if we give God not only our agreement, well, that's not. Let me try it this way. I think the two most important things that we can give God is first our faith, which is basically our belief in His word and our faithful obedience to Him as our Creator. And then the second thing that we can give God is our time. And I know it's so important because I see Satan attacking us here in those two areas the most to try to get us off track. He will attack our faith. He'll say, man, did God really mean in His word what He said? Did He really mean that you can sin and not surely die, that you can break the word of God and there's going to be no big consequences? Or is God really there for you? Will He really answer you? He says He'll help, but will He really help? Does He really understand? Is He strong enough to deliver you? Can you really fully trust Him? Is He strong enough to keep you? And if He's not renting space in our heads and trying to mess with our headspace and our obedience and our faith and our trust, He overwhelms us with the cares of this world and the lusts of our flesh, and we have very little time to spend alone with God or in service to God. Yet we read in Ephesians 5:16, redeem the time, because these days are evil. I mean, we all know the days are dark. I get that. We all sense there's growing evil. We all know the day is coming where Jesus says, work now, work in the light, because the day is coming that no man can work. We're told to redeem the time because time is running out. And a lot of people was like, what does that mean? Redeem the time because I'm misquoting it. I should have wrote that scripture down, right? I know it's Ephesians 5:16. Redeem the time because the days are evil. That's what the scripture says. And I once heard an old school holiness evangelist preach a sermon on this one time. And I don't remember much of the sermon, but I remember this part of it because this always kind of stuck with me. He says that redeeming the time could literally be translated as ransom the time in the original Greek. He said that we need to understand that Satan is stealing the time that we have to spend with Christ and to work for Christ. And would we be willing to pay the price to get that time back? Meaning, would we be willing to wake up earlier so we could start our day in prayer and devotion? Would we be willing to go to bed a half an hour later so that we could close our day in prayer and devotion? Would we be willing to sacrifice a meal or two or fast a day here and there? Would we be willing to give up a few minutes here and there for God during the course of the day? Because every minute does count. They all begin to add up cumulatively after a while. Imagine multiplying those minutes that you spend with God in prayer every single day as the Spirit leads. What once was like a spiritual hand grenade as a spiritual weapon now becomes a spiritual A-bomb after a while, because the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Imagine multiplying those prayers time and time and time again. Imagine the results of that. I do believe these days are truly evil, but we have to get to the point where, in faith, we have the desire to see God do great and mighty things for the sake of the gospel. You know, ma'am, we talk about these great and mighty things that God does. You know, but a simple truth keeps been. It just keeps hitting me lately. That he needs very little things to do very big things. We had that question also last month in the Ready With an Answer, like, does God accept my little things? Or does God need my big things? Because, you know, we think that God needs these big things to accomplish bigger things. And yet Jesus never did, right? He needed a lot of wine for a wedding feast full of people, and he's like, where are those hand-washing pots? Or, hey, man, there's like 5,000 hungry people, and he's like, where's that boy that's got some bread and fish? Like that person who wrote in with the ready or the Herald the End, Jesus is going to heal some guy that can't see. Well, he doesn't need big things. He just needs some spit and some dust. A little bit of mud. God's like, I got a whole world going to hell in a handbasket. A whole world going to hell. And Jesus is like, give me some wood and three nails. Why do we think that what we have isn't enough? It's enough. It's enough when he's in the middle of it. Because he makes every minute count. Testimony time. A lot of you guys, sorry about the rambling. That just came to me and I just wanted to share that. I had to share that because, man, there are a lot of us out here there who don't think that we have a lot to offer, a lot to give. And Jesus is like, good. I've been waiting for you to understand that for a very long time. Now let's redeem that time. Anyways, back to the testimony. A lot of you have seen this week that I asked for prayer on my Facebook page for my wife. And what happened was, it was late at night, I was listening to a podcast in the living room. I didn't want to disturb my wife, so I was chilling on the couch. She was sleeping, and even with my headphones on, I heard my wife choking in the next room, so I got up, and as I was walking to the room to see if she needed a drink of water, if everything was okay, she let out a really scary scream, and I like busted in there, and I went into the bedroom, and she's sitting up, and she's just like, she looking crazy at me, and she's like, please pray for me. And I said, okay, what am I praying for? And she's like, I've been having vivid nightmares that are terrorizing me for the past few nights, and I hardly ever have nightmares. And for the last few nights, like, I feel like I'm being choked out, and demons are trying to torture me. And I'm like, oh, man. So I prayed, and then I went back out there, and I'm like, you know what? You have not because you ask not. And I go on Facebook and I just, a couple sentences, please pray for my wife. She's having really vivid nightmares and she's being tormented. And I just asked my frequency family to pray for her. And even though it was super late at night, over 100 people responded in the next couple of hours. And they kept responding more and more and more as the days went on, agreeing in prayer. And it's kind of like Jesus is like, yeah, I got this. Where's that Facebook post, that little thing, that two-sentence request, that agreement in my name touching that request? Where is it? It's funny how God can just use little things. And man, I'll tell you what, my wife slept so soundly and peacefully that night. And as I record this right now, she's been nightmare-free. Dude, I'm grateful to Jesus, and I'm grateful that I got the best family, my frequency family. They're always writing in and saying, hey, man, we're praying for you. We're praying for you. We're standing with you in prayer. How can we pray for you? And then this thought, it just hit me. I'm like, if we all are the frequency family, then let's go deeper. Because if we're going to be locking in this new content and we're going to be taking this into the direction of, hey, man, we're a ministry and we're not out here just creating Christian content from a Christian worldview as a podcast. Like, we're going to go out there and this, we're going to go full-blown ministry. We're going to have things that reach out and try to seek and save the lost and to encourage people and to light people on fire again and to build people up in the faith of God, to train people. Let's go deeper, man. Let's go deeper, 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 because I'm asking to take your support one step further for this ministry, because I need the support. And I'm going to ask you in this episode, would you please consider joining the Frequency Force? Because we need your focused, systematic, weekly support to truly make this ministry happen. And I'm not asking for money, and I'm not asking for monetary support. I'm not asking for donations. That's not the support I need. I'm asking for 5 minutes of focused prayer each and every Friday. Now, you can totally pray for us more than that. You can pray however God leads you to pray for us. But I'm asking you to join the Frequency Force. I'm asking for 5 minutes of focused prayer every Friday for my Frequency family for Omega Frequency. Man, I'm just happy I could say that without tripping over my words, because that was a tongue twister. Because I want to make every minute count. I really do. I mean, imagine if half of the thousands of listeners that listened every single week said, you know what, we're going to give you 5 minutes every Friday. We're going to pray specifically about the three things that you ask us to pray for. Every Friday, 5 minutes. Imagine the thousands of minutes that adds up to every week, every month, every year. I need that, crave that, way more than money, way more than donations. We need that Frequency Force. Phil, Justin, Wade, Kurt and I, we need the Frequency Force. I want our prayers to be like weapons of war, the ones that they're meant to be. I want them to be like spiritual smart bombs that have very locked-in, focused targets. And because of that, I'm asking you to join the Frequency Force. I've added a new page to OmegaFrequency.com. If you go there, you'll see all the links on the side where we have all those links. One of them is a new one that says Frequency Force, and you're going to be taken to a page that specifically spells out the three areas of prayer that we need to make this podcast into a effective ministry. And a tool that I believe that God wants to use in these last days. And it's real simple, man. You can even, while you're on that page, hit the print button. You can print that page out. You can bookmark it and pull it out every Friday if you want, however you want to do it. Just use it. And here's what we would ask from you. Please pray for us for at least 5 minutes every Friday. Why Friday? Well, because 80% of what you hear each week is either recorded, prepared, thought out, planned, or put together on Fridays. And our live prophecy show is definitely every other Friday also. So Fridays is a really awesome time for you to pray for us. And when you pray for us, here are the three needs that we have. We need prayers for providence, power, and protection. First, we need prayers for providence. We need you to pray that God would draw the people that he wills to the episodes that they need to hear. Because we trust that if we give God something to work with, he's going to make sure the people who need to hear it find it. Next, we need your prayers for power. Because we can't do this from our own human strength. And the Lord doesn't want us to. You guys know I'm a Leonard Ravenhill fan. I'm going to pull up a quote that I've probably quoted a bunch of times, but this quote has always spoken to me. It says, "Preaching affects men, but prayer affects God. Preaching often affects time, but prayer affects eternity. Preaching is a spiritual business. A sermon born in the head reaches the head, but a sermon born in the heart reaches the heart. Unction cannot be learned, but only experienced through prayer. Unction is like dynamite. It will pierce, it will sweeten, it will soften. When the hammer of logic and the fire of human zeal fail to open the stony heart, unction will succeed. So good, man. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit, not us, who leads men to Jesus. We just lift high the cross. We proclaim the gospel, but it's the Holy Spirit that actually convicts men that what we just spoke is the gospel truth. The Holy Spirit partnership in our proclamations is what Ravenhill is calling the unction here. And that's what we need. We need the unction. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to turn our words into something that He can work with to pierce people's hearts. So we need your prayers for power. And these are the things we'd like you to pray under that power category. First off, first and foremost, pray that the power of the Holy Spirit convicts people of sin and opens their eyes to the plan of salvation if they're not saved. Pray that the power of the Holy Spirit awakens people to biblical truth if they are under any form of deception. Pray that when people hear an episode, that the power of the Holy Spirit encourages them to deepen their walk with Jesus, and pray that the power of the Holy Spirit leads us, empowers us as we prepare, record, and minister. Because I believe in the biblical gifts of the Spirit. I know this is controversial among some people because of all the abuse of the spiritual gifts that are going on that fall outside the box or the guardrails of biblical Christianity. But I believe in the biblical gifts of the Spirit. I believe they still operate today. I don't believe in going outside the biblical gifts. I don't believe I can wield those gifts at will. I believe the Holy Spirit gives those gifts when He wills and as He wills to equip and build up the body, and sometimes as a sign to unbelievers. And I'm just basically paraphrasing Paul in a couple places by saying that. Here's the thing. If part of this power that we need when we prepare, when we record, when we minister, is we need to have the wisdom and the boldness to tap into that unction if the Spirit is giving it to us to do that. If He's using one of His gifts to build up a listener or speak directly to a listener who needs a word of edification or a word of wisdom or anything like that, we want to have the wisdom and discernment to follow that leading. If the Holy Spirit wants to speak directly to a person who is lost and wants to supernaturally do something in that area, as a sign to an unbeliever, if we are to stop a podcast in the middle of a podcast and pray for someone, whatever it is, we want to be open to that. We want to always preach biblical truth, but we also have to understand that biblically the gifts are there to confirm the preaching of the word, and they won't happen unless you're solidly preaching the word and you're on point and you're on mission trying to win the lost to Jesus or build up the body. But if the Holy Spirit's leading us to use those gifts to minister, we not only want the wisdom to know that, but we want the boldness to not hold back and to do it. And finally, we need prayers for protection. Please pray that the Lord protects, guards, and strengthens Phil, Justin, Wade, Kurt, and myself, and most importantly, our families too, because Satan will attack our families. He already has in some instances. He tried it with my wife. And one of the comments that I got a lot in as people were reaching out and praying, saying, hey, look, the more that you guys are preaching the gospel, the more the devil's going to come at you guys. And it's true, man. I mean, now that we've set our new format and we're boldly going to start addressing things that the devil may not want us to address, he's probably not going to be happy. I mean, especially now that we're doing live Bible prophecy shows, we're going to hit subjects that we probably haven't talked much about on Omega Frequency. We're going to hit some of the more controversial topics, some topics of politics, UFOs, all this stuff, man, and the deception and persecution and basically Bible prophecies, like, is preparing Christians to face the wrath of the devil. Like, Satan doesn't want that. So he's going to try to hinder us, man. And the devil surely doesn't want us doing Bible teachings like Bride Boot Camp and Ready with an Answer. He probably hates that more than us talking about some of the controversial topics that he has his, you know, his claws in. He probably hates it even worse when we're building people up in the faith and preparing them to be the bride of Christ in these last prophetic hours. And I'm sure he doesn't want us to do a show like Testify, which is basically taken directly from Revelations 12:11, which is a passage that I've quoted many times that basically explicitly tells us how to overcome the devil. We had a whole show based on that. And the people that were writing into me are 100% correct. They're going to come after us. They're going to come after our families because the devil doesn't fight fair. I mean, if you would understand what's going on with my brother Phil, that's his story to tell, and I'm not going to tell it, but, like, I'm telling you that Phil's and his family have been attacked crazy hard over the last couple of months, and he needs prayers for protection and encouragement so very much at this hour. And not only that, like, and we're not putting ourselves on a pedestal here by any stretch of the imagination. You guys know that as you stand for Jesus, attacks are going to come your way. Attacks are going to come the way of any child of God who desires to see this great commission fulfilled. But man, I'm here to tell you that the weapons of our warfare are mighty weapons. Mighty, mighty weapons, mighty through God. Mighty through God. Yes, sir. Mighty through God. You don't take no guff from the devil, man. Because the devil's under the feet of Jesus. Devil, you're under the feet of Jesus. Devil, you're going to lose this war, and it's not even close. Because Yeshua, our King, our warrior King, spoiled all principalities and powers. He shook the gates of hell. Those gates of hell, he promised, will never prevail against the church. We just need to press into this victory. We need to stand united. We need to agree together. We need to choose with our actions and our faith to redeem this time. We need to choose to make every minute count. And we can. I want to thank you for your prayers and your support. I want to encourage you to join the Frequency Force, to visit omegafrequency.com. Click on that link, Frequency Force. Bookmark it. Print it out. Whatever you have to do. But 5 minutes on Friday. Join whatever time you can get away. It doesn't have to be a certain time, just some point during the day on Friday. 5 minutes. Those three things. If you could pray for them, that would mean the world to us. God bless you, Frequency family. God bless you, Frequency Force. Y'all keep fighting the good fight of faith. Amen. As this week's episode draws to a close, I want to share with you how you can find freedom from this world's system of slavery to sin. The very first thing that we must understand is that in this world, everyone is a slave to sin. We all have sinned, and we all have fallen short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says that we're rebels, we're criminals, we've broken God's law. We are locked in a spiritual prison, and we are very much prisoners of war. We're caught between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan, and Satan has legal rights to steal, to kill, and to destroy because of the fall. He steals from us our hope. We look around at this prison and we think we will never escape. He destroys our lives in the darkness, and ultimately he will succeed in killing many souls as they follow him to hell. But the gospel, or the good news of the kingdom, is that through the finished work of Christ revealed in his death, burial, and resurrection, there is redemption, there is restoration, and there is freedom offered by God to each and every person who would receive Christ as the King of the spiritual kingdom. King Jesus came to earth. He lived the sin-free life that we could never live. He died the death that we deserve to die, and he rose from the dead triumphantly, and he has the keys to hell and death. And he has the keys to your prison cell, and he offers you the freedom that only he can offer, because he alone can bind up the brokenhearted. He alone proclaims liberty to the captives, and he alone opens the door to the prison, and he looses all who are bound. 2,000 years ago, in that one moment of redemption, every single prison cell was open. God made a way through Jesus for everyone to potentially escape. But here's the problem. Most of us have stopped right there. We've stopped right there with the gospel. We may have heard the story. We may have heard the good news. But we sit there still in this dark cell and we're like, oh, wow, isn't it amazing? He died for me. I can be free. I can be forgiven. My prison door can swing wide open. Forgiveness is available. He provides for me a way of escape. But you have to stand up. You have to walk out and boldly approach the throne of grace. You have to surrender to the King, repent of your sins, and trust Christ to absolutely save you. Ask the Holy Spirit to grant you the power to do that. Ask him to soften your heart so that you can see sin as God sees it. Ask him to trouble your heart with godly sorrow over the times where you broke his laws. And from the honesty of your own heart, in your own words, call out to Jesus to save you. And step out by faith and say, I am free. Confess Christ as your Savior before men and lay down your old life and put on his new life instead. Today is the day of salvation. Today you can switch allegiances. You can accept the terms of heavenly surrender. You can leave the kingdom of darkness and begin to walk in the newness of life and never turn back. Now, if I can help you further, either by talking with you more about the salvation that Jesus offers you, or if I can encourage you to take the next step in living a sold-out radical kingdom life for him, please visit OmegaFrequency.com and click on the navigational link entitled Salvation. From there, you're going to find a button that says, please help me take the next step. And if you use it, I'll be able to communicate with you specifically about this matter. Well, as always, I want to thank you once again for taking the time to download this week's episode. It has truly been my honor to be able to spend time with you this week and to discuss the things of Yeshua and his coming kingdom with you. Until next time, may Yahweh bless thee and keep thee.
Have you ever wondered how the earliest followers of Christ would have addressed the core issues facing us today? Well, join me, Phil Baker, for a discussion on how we can simply follow the words of Christ and apply his message to our lives. Listen to my podcast, Reclaiming the Faith, on iTunes or reclaimingthefaith.podbean.com.
you so much for listening. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please consider sharing it with someone else. Our full podcast archives, along with their original show notes, can be found online at omegafrequency.com. Now, until next time, this is BDK reminding you that we don't need to fear the future, because in the end, Yeshua wins.